Okay, today we're starting a new Masechet Kritut. Just to give some background, Karet is a type of death that comes by the hand of God. It's unclear what exactly Karet is. There's a large debate, right? As one could imagine, anything that's Bidei Shamayim, we don't really know what it is. So there's a Gemara Moed Katan, which says in Kachet, it says that it's an early death from the age of between 50 and 60. The Yerushalmi and Bikurim seems to say you die before age 50. So there are those who distinguish between, is it that you actually die early? Some people say it's that your children die young or before you. Some people say that it's a death for your soul, meaning afterlife, where kind of your soul is destroyed, which means you don't get Olam Haba. The Ramban actually says, interestingly, kind of puts these all together and says there's different types of karet. Some are for your body, some are for your soul, and some are for both. Okay, so that's an interesting categorization. Some say that it depends in terms of whether it affects your children. Your children would die young. That is dependent on the wording used in the psukim, where sometimes it says ariri. So there it would include it affects your children, and otherwise it wouldn't necessarily. What's clear here is that nobody really knows what this means. It's obviously whichever way you look at it, as someone said before class, right, that the book is very weighty. It's obviously very serious. And there's also a distinction, just so we should make it clear, there's certain things where the Torah says you get mitah, which we understand to be mitah bidei shamayim, okay, meaning death by the hand of God, which is not karet, okay? Karet is a certain type of death in the hands of God that's more severe, okay? The other thing that's important to note is that a bunch of the things that you get karet for, you also get mitah beitim. Okay, so there's different categories. Some you only get karet, meaning you only get punished by God, and some you also get punished in this world, or by man and by the hands of man. Now, how does that work? You're going to get both? So no, the way it works is like this. If it's something that you're supposed to get mitah beitim for, then you get mitah beitim. But that's only if there's witnesses, you were warned, and all that. There's many times where the beitim can't administer the punishment, and in that case, you will get karet instead. So it's kind of an either or. The first option is to get mitah beitim, in the hands of the beitim. But if the beitim can't give the mitah beitim, then you'll get karet. The other issue is if it's, there are other times where it's karet, but it's not mitah beitim, the beitim. And then it's a regular lo tase. Now, what do we know about a regular lo tase? You generally get lashes for it. So now there's also a debate about if it's a lo tase with karet, do you get malkot by the beitim? Can the beitim punish you malkot because it's a regular lo tase that you always get malkot for, or not? So then there's a debate about whether, okay, so some people say you don't get malkot if you get karet. You're just going to get karet and punished by God. You don't get punished in this world, you know, in the hands of man at all. Some people say, and in fact, most of the Tanaim hold, that you do get lashes. Then within those who say you get lashes, there's a debate about whether, again, this is something we don't really know about, but whether the lashes then kind of fixes the problem, and then you don't get karet. If you got the lashes, just like if you got mitah beitim, you're not going to get karet. Are the lashes kind of your punishment in place of karet? And the karet only comes if you don't get the lashes or not. So there's all these different kind of open-ended issues. It's not so clear where all these things fall. Okay. Now, the other point that's important is what we're going to learn is we're going to start with Shloshi B'Shesh Kritot B'Torah. Okay, there's 36 times where it says karet in the Torah. We're going to list what all those cases are. And then the important part for our purposes is we're not really so interested in the karet because it's certainly not something the rabbis can deal with in terms of, well, they can try to deal with certain aspects of it. But there's not that many details that affect the courts and anything else. So what they're really going to deal with is all these are things that if you did them on purpose, you get karet. But if you did them accidentally, then you don't get karet. But what do? You have to bring a korban chatat. And we're going to get into the issues relating to a korban chatat. Okay, there's going to be a lot of korbanot issues discussed in this parak, and that's why, in fact, it's in Kodashim, okay, and not in where else would it have been better to be, in Sanhedrin or somewhere in Nezikin. No, it's in Kodashim because it's about korbanot, but it's not going to talk about all the details we discussed in Zvachim about, you know, different things you have to know about bringing the korban, but it's going to discuss certain elements of korbanot. With that, we will start. So, as we said, there's 36 times where you get karet. Here they are, okay, and we're going to categorize them. The first whole bunch have to do with arayot. If you remember, in the section of arayot, at the end of the section where it says all the things that you're not allowed to do, it says, I just got the pasuk, ki kol asher ya'asem mikol ha-toivot ha'ele. Okay, there's a big summary pasuk at the end of Vayikra Yudchet, pasuk kaftet. Anyone who does mikol, remember mi always means from, not all, right? But from all of the toavot ha'ela, all these terrible, despicable things, v'nichretu ha'nefashot ha'osot mikarav amam, you're going to get karet. So therefore, we see from there, all sorts of arayot are going to have karet, and here they're going to list them. Habal ha'em, okay, one who sleeps with his mother, val eshet av, the wife of his father, va'al ha'kala, on his daughter-in-law, habal hazachor, male homosexual relations, ve'al habehema, okay, and on an animal, bestiality, ve'isha hamivya habehema aleha, and a woman who engages in bestiality, right there, it's she, you know, has the animal have sex with her, because the female is considered generally more passive. Habal esh al isha ubita, if someone sleeps with his wife and the wife's daughter, or it actually doesn't have to be his wife, any woman and the woman's daughter. Ve'eshet ish, okay, a married woman. Habal achoto, sleeps with his sister. Va'al achot aviv, his aunt, meaning his father's sister. Ve'al achot imo, okay, and his mother's sister. Va'al achot ishto, and his sister-in-law, his wife's sister. Ve'al eshet achiv, his brother's wife, right, the other sister-in-law. Val eshet achi aviv, okay, the wife of his father's brother, so his aunt, meaning because she's not his aunt by blood, but his aunt who's married to his uncle, his father's brother. Sounds a lot like Yavama, right? You know those little people again. Okay, ve'al hanida. Okay, there ends the section about all the arayot. Okay, a woman who's in nida. So all these you get karet for. But this is why we'll get to nida soon. Okay, in a bunch of masechtot in October. The nida, this is why we're very machmir when it comes to nida, because sleeping with a woman who's in nida is a do'orait, is karet. Okay, now we're going to get into things that have to do with belief in God, avodah zarah, cursing God, etc. Hamigadev, someone who curses God. Ve'over avodah kochavim, you worship idols. V'hanotei mizar'o lamolech, he offers up his son to the molech. This is one of the types of worship of avodah zarah, where they would sacrifice their firstborn son. Ubal ov, that's someone who engages in, I don't know how they define it. It's a certain type of, right, it's bringing up the dead. Right, that's what Ov is.
Communicates with the dead by raising the spirit of the deceased from the ground, causing it to take residence right under his armpit.
Okay.
Where its voice emanates.
Okay, so they raise the dead, and they do it from their armpits. It's if you remember with Shaul HaMelech, right, he went to do that, to bring up Shmuel. Okay, so that's the next category. Now, I've kind of, it's interesting the way the Mishnah categorizes the next, but it starts with Mechalel Shabbat, which soon it's going to get to Yom Kippur and Chametz BePesach, which I would have thought to put those three together. The Mishnah doesn't. Okay, but if you're Mechalel Shabbat, remember you get Skila for that, right? But again, this is a good case where you get Skila, but also you get Karet if you don't get the Skila. The next category is Tum'at HaMikdash and all that kind of stuff, right? Things relating to the Beit HaMikdash, which we've learned many times, all these cases, especially because we're in Kodshim. Tamesha achal kodesh, if you're impure and you ate sacrificial meat, the habal hamikdash tameh, if you come into the mikdash when you're impure, va'ochel chelev vidam notar upigul. Okay, if you eat the following things, the forbidden fats. Now, this doesn't really relate to korbanot, but in a sense it did, because if you remember, we learned why is chelev forbidden, because those are the parts on the animal that goes that get burned in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore those are the parts that we're going to forbid you to eat. And dam, you're not allowed to eat blood. And also, why is that? Again, it relates to korbanot, because the blood is the part that we bring on the mizbeach, and therefore those are the two parts that get kind of brought or sacrificed on the mizbeach, and therefore they're forbidden in a regular animal. Vinotar upigul, that's meat that's left over beyond the time it's allowed. And pigul is where somebody, where the Kohen has an intent that he's going to sacrifice, or when he slaughters it, that he's going to burn it, or when he, right, or that he's going to sprinkle the blood or eat it in the wrong time or in the wrong place. So anyone who eats, right, the following things, chelev, dam, notar, or pigul, is going to get karet. V'hashochet u'male b'chutz, if he slaughters or burns the animal outside the area he's allowed to. Okay, so that all relates to korbanot. So we have again, arayot, chilul shabbat, korbanot, v'hauchel chametz b'pesach, if you eat chametz on Pesach, or you eat or do malacha on Yom Kippur. So again, like I said, I would have kind of classified that with Shabbat, right? Some sort of desecration of holidays. Now we're getting to, this kind of also a little bit goes back to the Beit HaMikdash, although maybe you could put it in a different category. Hamifatem et ha-shemen v'hamifatem et ha-ktoret. When it talks about the shemen ha-mishcha and the ktoret in the Torah, it says you're not allowed to make this recipe otherwise. You can make it for the Beit HaMikdash, and in fact, the Shemen HaMishcha was made once, right? And the Ketoret, we learned, if you remember, there were people who were specialized in making the Ketoret. But you're not allowed to, let's say you just want some nice incense to smell. You can't use the recipe used in the Torah. Okay, and the Shemen HaMishcha, basically Moshe made it, and that was it. And there was a miracle that the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe made lasted for what it needed to last for, right? And then in the time of Yoshiyahu, it was lost or hidden and never found again. So you're not allowed to make, you know, do that recipe of the Shemen HaMishcha or the Ketoret. V'hasach et ha-Shemen HaMishcha. If you put on Shemen HaMishcha, you anoint yourself with Shemen HaMishcha, you're not allowed to do that. Again, only when specifically one is supposed to be anointed with it. V'ha-pesach v'ha-mila mitzvat aseh. Okay, so now, so those all, again, were categorized as, these are things having to do with the Beit HaMikdash, but maybe a bit of a different category than the others. Now we have the last two, which are always in a unique category. Why? Because these are two mitzvot aseh that you get punished for. Generally, if you don't do a mitzvah aseh, so you've missed your chance to do a mitzvah, but you don't get punished for not doing it. But when it comes to Korban Pesach and Brit Milah, you get punished. If you don't do them, you get karet. Okay, now, Brit Milah is always a classic example of, well, when do you get punished for Brit Milah? How, in theory, you could do a Brit Milah all of your life. So there's, in fact, an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says you get karet when you can no longer do a Brit Milah, basically when you're no longer alive. Okay, so then, first of all, that would kind of then say that karet is only, at least in this case, karet would be something after death, because, you know, there's obviously, you can't get it when you're alive.
So the person who gets karet is not the father.
So right. So yeah. So brit milah is right. That's a good point to bring up that I wanted to mention, which is, while the mitzvah is on the father to do for his son, but once the son gets older, the son becomes chayav himself to deal with it. So the onus of the punishment will be on the son. The Ravid says once he gets older, he's chayav karet. The problem with that is, well, what if he then does it? So according to him, well, yes, you're chayav karet once you get to of age and you don't do a brit milah. But if you fix it, then your karet, you know, is gone. In other words, it can be lifted. Okay. And Korban Pesach, obviously, if you don't do it, then you're going to be chayav karet. That obviously has a time frame about it. Okay, so now, so Pesach Bamila, Mitzvah Aseh. Okay, so those are Mitzvah Aseh that you're going to get Kari for. There's our 36. Misha continues, Al Elo Chayavin Al Zdono Karet. Okay, so on the following things, you will get Karet if you do them on purpose. Ve'al Shigigato Chatat. Okay, and if you did them accidentally, you will have to bring a Korban Chatat. Ve'al Shelo Hodash Elahem, as we mentioned yesterday, Asham Taloi. If you're not sure whether you did them or not, okay, I always bring the classic case of you ate a piece of fat and you're not sure if it's Chayav or Shuman. There's another interesting case brought up here that I thought was, I would say, a little less classic, a little less, I think it's Rashi says it. I don't know. But anyway, a case I saw brought up was if your wife and your wife's sister are in bed together and you sleep with one of them and you're not sure which one you had sexual relations with. Okay, that's a bit of an odd example to think of, that would actually be a case, but maybe in some scenario one can imagine that. So then what do? You bring what's called an asham taloi, not a chatat, but an asham. It's a different type of offering. But you bring not a regular asham, but an asham taloi, which means it's hanging, which means that right now, maybe you did something wrong, maybe you didn't. To protect yourself in the meanwhile, until you figure out really whether you did it wrong or not, you bring this asham taloi, and that carries you until such time as you figure out what the truth was. If you never figure out what the truth was, then the asham taloi covers you. If you, in fact, find out that, I really sinned, then you have to bring the korban chatat that you were chayav, because the asham taloi doesn't cover you for that. Chutz min, now, according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to see, he disagrees about two things in this list. Chutz min atameh migdash v'kodashav. Okay, if you come into the Mikdash Tameh, or you eat Kodashim while you're Tameh, those are not, you don't have to bring, you don't get Karet on those. Why not? Mipnei Shehu Ba'o Levi Yoreh Divrei Rabbi Meir. He says these are in a different category than the others. Okay, I'm sorry, one second. Sorry, my mistake. It's not that you're pretzer from karet. You do get karet for them. He says you don't. All of the following items, my mistake, let me correct myself. All the following items, the 36, according to Tana Kama, what did we say? If you did them b'mezid, you get karet. If you did them, or maybe mitabetin in some of the cases, but that's not our issue right now. If you did them b'shogeg, you bring a chatat. If you're not sure if you did them, you bring an asham taloi. But an asham taloi is only, according to Rabbi Meir, when you bring a chatat kavua. If you remember, there's two different types of chatats you can bring. One is a regular chatat, where it's clear you have to bring an animal. But there's what we call a korban olevi yoreh. There's certain cases where you bring the sliding scale offering, which is if you're rich, you bring an animal. If you're less rich, you bring birds. And if you're less rich and you can't even afford that, you bring a mincha, a meal offering. So what's the one that you bring that's on this list that you bring a korban olevi yoreh for, that you also get karet for? Tumat mikdash v'kodashav. If you're not sure, if you went into the mikdash when you were tameh, let's say you went into the mikdash but you're not sure you were tameh, or you ate kodshim and you're not sure you were tameh, or you might have eaten, you're not sure that the kodshim were tameh or not, or any sort of shogeg about that, you bring a korban olevi yoreh. So comes Rabbi Meir and he says, the asham taloi is only brought on what we call a chatat kfu'ah, if it's a set chatat. But if it's the sliding scale offering, in the case of tumat mikdash v'kodashav, and let's say you're not sure whether, if you went into the mikdash, you didn't know you were tameh, or you didn't remember, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh no, I was tameh, I went into the mikdash, then you bring this korban olevi yoreh. But if you're not sure whether or not you went into the mikdash, let's say you weren't sure where you passed, whether you passed the place or not, or you weren't sure whether you were tameh when you went in, you can't remember, then you don't bring an asham taloi for that, according to Rabbi Meir, because it's an olevi yoreh. The chachamim omrim, Chachamim add to this list, af ha-megadef. Also megadef, you don't, shenemar, Torah achat yeh lachem la'oseh b'shkaga. It says there's one law for those who oseh b'shkaga. Okay, now he actually says that the megadef is patur b'chlal from a korban chatat. Because when it talks about a korban chatat, it says there's one law for the oseh shkaga. Now what does it say here? Oseh shkaga means, and there it says, right, there's one law meaning everybody brings a chatat. But only if you're oseh b'shkaga, yatzah megadef she'eino oseh maaseh. Someone who curses, this is classic, right? Didn't do a maaseh, he only spoke. And because it was through speech, you don't actually bring a korban chatat for it. Okay? There's a bit of a strange lashon in what he says, because he says af. Af sounds like even this in addition to what? Okay? So the Gemara is going to try to figure out why he uses the lashon of af. Okay. The first thing the Gemara is going to do, and this is very classic for beginning of a sefto, particularly the last few that we learned, it's going to start quoting Mishnayot from all over. Okay? A lot of them are going to be from our Masechet, and then we're going to jump to some other Masechtot. And the question they're going to ask the same question on various Mishnayot. Minyana lamali, why did the Mishnah have to tell us Shloshim Vishesh Kritot b'Torah? Why does it say there's 36 Kritut in the Torah? Why didn't it just start listing them? These are for the following things you get karet. Why did it use numbers? And we've seen this many times where the Mishnah uses numbers. And here the Gemara is going to assume it's not just a nice literary device and, you know, they want to kind of categorize things for us, but there actually must be a reason. So we're now going to say the reason is Amar Rabbi Yochanan, She'im asa'an kulam behelem achat, chayav al kol achat v'achat. So the reason why it says 36 is to tell you that if you did all 36, behele mechad, okay, what is hele mechad? Hele mechad means that you didn't know. Okay, you didn't know it was asur, and then you find out that it's asur. So now if you did all these not knowing that things are asur, maybe you could say like this, very simply. You didn't know that you'd be chayav a korban on them, okay? So if you didn't know, and then you find out, oh, there's such a thing as a korban chatan, and you're going to be chayav, and you did all 36 things, or two of them, or three of them, or four of them, you're going to have to bring a separate korban chatan on each. And that's why it says 36, to teach you that. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to continue and say v'tu, but additionally, haditnan avot malachot arba'im chaser achat, minyan alamali. So now they say, right? Why does it say by Avot Melachot, when it comes to Shabbat, that there's 40 minus 1, meaning there's 39? Right? I'm not going to get into why they use that Lashon. Why did they say a number? So the answer is, She'im asan kulam b'halem achat chayava kol achat v'achat. Same exact thing. Okay, here we're going to have, these first two cases are parallel. After this, we're going to get off on lots of other things. But according to the first two Mishnah, we're going to bring our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Shabbat, which gives a number. The reason for the number is to say, likewise on Shabbat, if you, let's say, you forgot it was Shabbat, okay, and you did a number of different melachot, you can't say, oh, I just forgot it was Shabbat, now I remembered it's Shabbat, I only have to bring one korban chatat. No. The reason why it said there's 39 melachot is that each one is a whole separate world in and of itself, which means that if you did one of the avot melachot, you did a number of avot melachot, with one kind of forgetting, then, you know, and then you found out that you made a mistake, then you're going to have to bring a korban chatat for each melacha that you did. Okay, next, two. Now, we're going to quote a lot of the upcoming Mishnayot, and I'm not going to go into all the details. I'm going to kind of mention what they mentioned. I'm not going to list, maybe in some of them we'll list, but most of them we're not going to get into all the details because we'll get into all the details soon enough. Haditnan. Arba mechusarei kapara minyan alamali. So now the Mishnah further on, I think it's Davchet, says there's four mechusarei kapara. Okay, what are mechusarei kapara? Those are people who went through some purification process. Okay, here I'll recite the four. There's Zav, Zava, Mitzora, and Yoledet, where there's some sort of process of counting down. Then you go to the mikveh in the morning. In the evening, you become tahor. Then you're still not, now what's left? You still can't go to the mikdash, you can't go into the mikdash, and you can't eat kodeshim until such time as you bring the korban, which is generally brought on the eighth day after, again, it depends which one. Yoledet, it's not day number eight, but some of them it's day number eight, Zav Zavan, Yoledet, and Mitzora, it's day number eight. You do it on day number 8, and that's what's called mechusar kapara, that until you do that, you can't go into the mikdash and you can't eat kodashim. So why does it say 4, minyan al hamali? So now we're going to have a different theme. Until now, our themes were, right, it's to teach you that you're chayav on each one independently. Now the theme is going to be, they tell you 4, and we've seen this a number of times in the Gemara, so that you don't think that maybe there's a mistake in the Mishnah, and they either mentioned they missed one, or they mentioned an extra one, right? It's going to be, we'll tell you the number so that you don't think, when you see something later, that you might think like some other opinion, that maybe the Mishnah holds like some other opinion that disagrees about the number of items. Lafuke mitu Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's to say, this Mishnah doesn't agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Da'amar chamisha have, he holds that there's 5. Which one does he add to the list? Titania, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, ger mechusar kapara ad shizrok dam alav. Okay, what does that mean? A ger has to do brit milah if he's a male. He has to do tvilah, dunking, right? And you have to do be makabel mitzvot. And has to bring a korban. Okay? So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a ger is considered mechusar kapara until he sprinkles the blood of his korban. Okay, so now, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there would be 5 mechusarei kapara. And according to the Tana of the Mishnah, he doesn't include ger. Now, it's a little strange. Why would you, yes, include ger or not include ger? Because obviously, a ger does need to bring a korban. First of all, it's interesting. A ger has to bring a korban in order to be considered a convert. Obviously, nowadays, we accept converts without bringing sacrifices. Otherwise, it would be impossible to convert. But it sounds like at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you had to bring a korban until you became considered a convert. So the question is the machloket, can a ger come into the mikdash and eat kodshim before he brings his korban? Or is the machloket, what's the essence of the korban of a ger versus the essence of a korban of the other 4? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's one way of reading him, is that it's true a ger actually can't go into the mikdash and eat kodshim until he brings his korban. But the purpose of the korban is not for that purpose. The purpose of bringing the korban is not to allow him to eat. Right? Let's take the other people. A zav, a zava, a yoledet, and a mitzora are all forbidden to eat korbanot and forbidden to come into the mikdash. And what bringing the korban allows them to do that. So that's why they're called mechusarei kapara. The ger, it's not like we looked at him before he converted and said, oh, well, you can't go into the mikdash and you can't, you know, like because you're impure.
It completes the conversion, which has the effect,
exactly,
among other things.
Exactly. But that's not the main purpose of it. It's not the goal of it. It just happens to be, like you said, a side effect. Okay, it comes along with it, but it's not the main goal.
There are lots of things that happen once you've completed conversion. That's just
right, wrong. Exactly. Okay, so next one, 2. Haditnan, arba'a mevi'inan hazadon kishkaga. Okay, what did we say about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, we said that all the following things, if you're mazid, if you did it on purpose, you get karet. If you did it b'shogeg, accidentally, you bring a korban chatat. But there's 4 things, according to the Mishnah, and daf tet, I believe, there's 4 things where you're chayav to bring a korban chatat, even if you did it on purpose. Okay, you bring it both on purpose and b'shogeg. That's mivim al hazadon kishkaga. Just like you bring for shkaga, you're going to bring it b'mezid. So minyan alamali, like I said, we'll get into the details when we get there. What's the purpose of the list? Well, the number 4, lafuki midi Rabbi Shimon, to say but we don't agree with Rabbi Shimon. Okay, detanya Rabbi Shimon omer. Shvuata pikadon lo nitan zdona la kapara. Okay, let me just specify this one. A minute ago, we said 4 mechusarei kapara, 4 and not 5. This time, we're going to say 4 and not 3, because Rabbi Shimon deletes one off the list. Shvuata pikadon is when I'm watching your item, and then you come back for it, and I say, oh, something happened to it, right? It wasn't my fault. And you lie about it. You say, I don't have it anymore because someone stole it, it got lost, something like that. You swear that you don't have it, and you really do, okay? And you were lying. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, lo nitan zdona la kapara. Okay, according to the Tanakama, that's one of the list, that even if you did it b'mezid, you swear, you bring a korban chatat, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to, right? Bringing a korban chatat allows for atonement. By the way, I didn't really talk about this, but it's, if you think about this korban chatat, if in most of the cases it's really on shkagah, it teaches you about this korban chatat, about receiving atonement. You can only really receive atonement in most cases, except for these exceptions, if it was something accidental, unintentional. Right? Then you can get the atonement. And it reminds us, if you remember, when we learned about Ir Miklat, that there's, when we talk about shkagah, there's a difference between ones and shkagah, okay? And mezid. There's like kind of three categories. You would think it's shkagah and mezid, but it's not. There's really ones also. Ones is when you really had no idea, okay? Then you don't even need a korban to atone for it. Mezid is where you did it on purpose, and there, except for these exceptions to the rule, the korban won't help you. And shkagah is the perfect in-between, just like Ir Miklat, that's when you get to go to the Ir Miklat and it protects you, is when you did it b'shogeg, where it was accidental, but it wasn't 100% accidental. You could have prevented it. So here's an interesting, I'll give you some distinctions here. What is a shvuat pikadon that you did b'shkagah that's not ones? So some people say, let's say you didn't know it was usher to lie falsely under oath. So people say, which I find this interesting, that's not ones. I'm sorry, that's not shkagah, that's ones. Like, if you really didn't know, well then, you don't even need a korban. You got to wonder, what you really didn't know is usher to lie under oath? Seems a little odd. Based on that, they say, what's the case of this shvuat hapikadon? You didn't know that you'd be chayav a korban for it. Okay, that's shkagah. And then you bring a korban, okay? You didn't know that you were chayav a korban, but if you knew you were, right, if you didn't know that it was usher to lie, or a better example, that there would be ones, this would really, in my mind, clearly be ones. You thought that it got lost or someone stole it, you couldn't find it, and you swore saying, I don't have it, and then it turns out you found it somewhere, okay? So that would be ones, like you had no idea. Again, maybe also there's gradations depending on how well you looked or something like that. Okay. So to exclude from Rabbi Shimon, we say four, so that you know that four are included, and it's not like, you might have thought otherwise. Maybe you saw Shvuat HaPikadon on the list and you say, remember we've seen a number of times where they say Smei Mikan, right? Erase this from the mission. It shouldn't appear there. And therefore Ahachi Tana Dali. That's why it says four. Okay, next case, two. Haditnan, as it says in the Mishnah, Chamisha, we're continuing on in the Mishnayot in our Masechet. Chamisha mivim korban echad al averot harbe. The following five people, okay, this comes up in the Mishnah in Daf Tet, and it takes actually a few Mishnayot till they list all five of them. Again, we'll see all the cases when we get there. There's five cases where you bring one korban on many averot. Okay, you could do something multiple times, and yet you'd still only have to bring one korban. So, minyan alamali, what do we need this for? Mishum dekabai limitna seifa, as it says in the seifa, by nazir. Okay? Nazir im nitmatum otarbe. Okay, so now a nazir, what happens? A nazir becomes tamei lamet while he's a nazir, so he has to bring a bunch of korbanot, if you remember. So now it says, what if he was mitame a number of times? Then he only has to bring one set of korbanot. It's actually not one korban, it's three korbanot, but he has to bring one set of korbanot. So now the question is, what exactly is a case of a nazir shenitma? If you're a nazir and you become tame, well then, and you become tame again and again before you become pure, well, that should obviously be one. There's no chidush there. You're already messed up, right? It doesn't make any sense. So the question is, what case are they trying to tell you? Right, it's exactly. They call it a tuma arichta. It's like one long tuma. It's the same thing. So what are they talking about at all? So what do they want to tell you? Mishkacha la kigon de itame b'shvi'i, v'chazar v'nitma b'shvi'i. The case is where you became tame on the seventh day. The seventh day of what? The seventh day when you become tamei lameh, what does the nazir have to do? He has to become pure, which means he has to go through the seven-day tahara process for a tumat meh with the paraduma ashes and all that. And then what happens? remember, now a Nazir, it's actually interesting, he wasn't listed in the Mechusare Kapara, but some people also claim he's a Mechusar Kapara because he has to bring his set of Korbanot on the eighth day. The question becomes, there's a debate, when does he start counting his new Nazirut? Does he start on the seventh day or does he start on the eighth day? Because the seventh day, he's already, what does he do? He shaves on the seventh day. Remember, we talked about that just the other day. He shaves off his hair, right? There's two shavings of the Nazir. There's a Nazir Tameh and there's a Nazir Tahor. By the way, there's another good example of, we've seen this a number of times, where the beginning of a Masechet makes reference to all sorts of things that the last Masechet ended with, right? We had the Asham Taloi, and we had the Nazir Tameh and the Nazir Tahor. So here we have it again. So the question is, when does he start counting again? So according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, it's talking about a case where he became Tameh on the seventh day. And according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see in a minute, the seventh day already, the clock starts ticking on his new Nizirut. He starts counting his new Nizirut. So now that's why he would bring Nitmatum Otarbei. He would then bring only one Korban, right? You might have thought he brings two, because he's now chayav because he broke his new Nizirut, but he still hasn't brought his korban from the first Nizirut, so you're going to be chayav only one korban. So here, we're going to read it. Umanu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Hida Amar, Nizirut Tahara min Shvi'i hu dechayel alei. The new Nizirut starts on the seventh day. De'itomar Rebihi, because if you say it's not Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah, in other words, the whole thing they're saying is, why does it say there's five? Because they wanted to tell you about the Nazir that it goes according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you say Rebbi hi, kevan de nizirut tahara ad deshmini lo chayel alei, since according to Rebbi, the new nizirut doesn't start till the eighth day, hechi mishkachala, then how could you possibly have a case? Idin itma b'shvi'i, b'chazar mitma b'shvi'i, if you became Tameh on the seventh day, right, the first time you were Tameh, right, and then you became Tameh on the seventh day of your Tara process, Kula Chada Tuma Arichtehi. That's just one long Tuma. You're still in the middle of your count of your first Nizirut, or that you're not, you broke your count, but you haven't yet started your new one. V'idin Itma B'Shmini, let's say the case according to Rebbe could be, well, what if you were Tameh on the eighth day? V'chazar v'nitma b'shmini, and then again, you became Tameh on the eighth day, right? They're giving examples where you might have three chiyuvim on you. Kevan diyatza b'sha'a ruya lavi b'korban, chayava kol achat v'achat. Since, in that case, according to Rebbe, since he holds it only starts, the clock starts ticking on the new Nizirut on day number eight. Well, the morning of day number eight, before you became Tameh, you already became chayav in your korban. If you're already chayav in your korban, and then you become Tameh, obviously you're going to have to bring a separate korban. You can't look at that. You can't say that you're going to have to bring one korban on the whole thing, because just because you didn't bring your korban yet on day number eight, it doesn't make a difference. You still were high of a korban. And therefore, when you become Tameh after, even on that day, you're going to have to bring a new korban on that. And therefore, it can't be talking about that. And therefore, they want to tell you, okay, so now that's why they wanted to tell you there's five, because they wanted to tell you that this Nazir case goes according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and it is part of the Mishnah, because you might have thought, we don't need it according to Rebbe, right? It doesn't make sense to say it and get rid of it from the Mishnah. Okay, my Rebbe, my Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what's the source of their debate? Where does it come from? This is just an aside. Titania, v'kidesh et rosho bayom hahu. Okay, there's a longer pasuk here, but what it says is, Kidesh et rosho, he shaves off his head on that day. Which day is that? On the seventh day. Then it says, and he brings the following sacrifices. And then it says, Bayom hahu. Okay, so then there's the, sorry, let me read the whole pasuk for you. V'kidesh et rosho, no, it doesn't quote it here. Okay, so here's the pasuk. It says in Bamidbar, Perek Vav, pasuk Yud. So on the it's or pasuk Ted. It starts off. It says v'timei rosh nizro v'gilach rosho b'yom tarato. So he shaves off his head b'yom ha'shvi'i galchena on the seventh day. U'b'yom ha'shmini he brings his korbanot, And then it says, V'chiper alav, right? Then the Kohen repents for him, atones for him. And then it says, V'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu. And then it says, first it refers to the seventh day, then it refers to the eighth day, and then it says, V'kidash et rosho, meaning he starts growing his hair again on that day. Now, what does that day refer to? Does it refer to the seventh day that was mentioned, or does it refer to the eighth day? And that's the machloka between them. Bayomahu, b'yom hava'at korbanotav, on the day he brings his korbanot, v'rei Rebbe, that's Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer b'yom tiglachato. Okay, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's referring to the day he shaved, which was the seventh day. Okay, that's the debate. Two, next case. Haditnan chamishan b'vi'im korbano levi oreg. Continuing along in the Mishnayot, okay, this is the korbano levi oreg. Five people have to bring a korbano levi oreg. Minyan alamali, what do we need this list for? Mishum dekatani seifa nasi kayotze behem. Tani chamisha lafuke medorab elezer damar nasi mevi seir. Okay, what's this talking about? The nasi kayotze behem. There's a few jumps here, okay? The Mishnah talks about five people bring a korbano levi oreg. Now, this time, we're not going to say there's some other opinion that thinks it's not five people. Okay, what do you bring Korban Levi Yoreid for? Remember, if you don't testify about something, you said, oh, I don't know anything about it, and you really do. If you say, I'm going to or I'm not going to do something, and you swore, I'm yes going to eat, I'm not going to eat, if you remember, that was the whole thing. Is it on the past, on the future, right? And then you went against your Shavua. If you went to the Mikdash or Eit Kodeshim when you were Tameh, and then there's a Nazir and a Metzora who also have options. There's a sliding scale option for them. Now, on the first three, the Nazir and the Metzora aren't exactly that you did a chet, even though some might say yes, but you don't really, it's not really you did a sin, but the first three are sin. You know, you accidentally did something wrong. If a Nasi were to do those things, okay, generally if you bring a chatat, the Nasi has to bring a seir, okay? There's a different korban if you're the king, what you have to bring. But he doesn't bring a chatat on any of the korbanot olevi yored. Why is that? Because an olevi yored is depending on if you're rich or if you're poor. A nasi is never can never be poor, right? He's always a rich person, generally. That's the assumption. And therefore, since there's no aniyut for him, this whole korban olevi yored, all these things are irrelevant for him. He doesn't bring a seir. Okay? So now we're going to say, so five bring a korban olevi yored, and nasi kayotze behem. Here it says dekatane seifa. Here we're actually not talking about it. It doesn't say it here. It says it in Horayot when we learned about the nasi. The nasi does not bring a seir for any of these things. But therefore, tane chamisha lafukim into Rabbi Eliezer, da'amar nazir mevi seir. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the nasi does bring a seir on tum'at mikdash v'kodashav. Okay, if you mess up when it comes to the mikdash, the nasi does have to bring a seer for it. It's an exception to the rule, and therefore they say five. So you shouldn't think like Rabbi Eliezer that it's four. Now, again, it's a bit of a jump. It's not that Rabbi Eliezer thinks there's only four olevi yored. He doesn't get rid of that from the list, but he gets rid of it in terms of the nasi doesn't bring a korban, doesn't bring a seer on those items. He takes one off the list. Haditnan arba avot nizikim minyan alamali. There's four avot nizikim, right? Shor, bor, mav, ehev, er. Why does it say four? Lafukim into Rabbi Yoshaya, da'amar, yud gimel avot nizikim. Okay, Rabbi Yoshaya says there's 13. Okay, what does he include? He includes the five things that you're, someone who damages someone who hits someone has to pay nezek, tzar, shevet, ripoy, and boshet. And he adds, forgetting now what are the other ones he adds. Finally, eludes me at this moment. Maybe I'll bring it up next time on Sunday. Okay, then, so he says four, because Rabbi Yoshaya had a different version of 13 that he included. Ula Rabbi Yoshaya minyan alamali, what was his reason for? Lafuke mid Rabbi Chia damar kaf dalet avot nizikin. Okay, he adds things like tashlume arava chamisha, ganav, gazlan. He adds all sorts of other things to the list. Ula Rabbi Chia minyan alamali, why does he say 24? The assumption is, it's interesting, you would say maybe he says 24 to exclude from the 13 or to exclude from the 4, but no, they assume someone has to add more. Lafuke masor umefagel. These are two interesting ones. If you turn someone over to the authorities, to the non-Jewish authorities, and they make you pay money, he doesn't list that as nizikin, okay? Or mefagel is a kohen who messes up your korban. We talked about this a lot when we learned about pigul. That he has to compensate financially for the person that he messed up their korban. However, he doesn't count that as one of the avot nizikin. Okay? Those two are exceptions. Why are they not listed? So some people say because it's dibur velo maaseh, Rashi says. Okay? It's not an action, but it's speaking. This is where there was a whole machloket, if you remember, by Pigel. Do you actually have to say it, or is it enough if he thinks it in his head? And some people learn it from here. And you could say that nezek isn't noticeable. Right? It's not noticeable damages. Okay? Masur is where he also did it baal peh. He just told him. Okay, amar mar. Now we're going to go back to this. She'im asan kulam behelem echad chayava kol echad vechad. Bishlama patur legamre lo matzid amar. Dechtiv, tikola sheyase michola toivota ele v'nichritu. Okay, you can't say that maybe you're patur until you do all the arayot. Okay, there was a havamina. Maybe you have to do all of the list in order to get karei, right? That would be kind of extreme. Extreme in a good way. It would prevent you from getting karei, but why not? Because it says, kola sheyase michola toivota ele. Remember, mi means from, meaning one of the following things. Ela ema avar chada nitchayev chada avar kulu behalem chada no chayav ela chad. Maybe it means though that if you did one, so obviously you're chayav, but maybe if you did a whole bunch of them, maybe you'd only be chayav one chatat. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan lechach yatza karet ba'achoto lechale. Okay, this is very famous. In one of the arayot, when it talks about your sister, it says you get karet for it. Now, why does it say that? If it already says at the end, for all of these you get karet, why did it specify by the sister? So they say it's lechalek. It's to tell you that you get for each, and this is where we learn the halacha we started with, which is if you do them all, if you do a whole bunch without realizing the arayot or asurot, then you're going to be chayav on each one independently. So kind of, it says karet by one of them, as an example to show, each one has its own karet and its own, basically, chatat. So, matkefla rabbi barabaye, ema achoto depirat kra nichayev chada ala, v'kulan kevan debele machal lo nichayev ela achat. So now he questions, and he says, why don't you say the following? Maybe achoto that specified, the pasuk specified it, you be chayev one. Specifically on achoto, let's say you did achoto, and she was also eshadish. So maybe you be chayav on achoto and eshadish. But all the others, and since it only says it by achoto, maybe it's only by achoto you get your own individual karet. But maybe all the others, you'd only be chayav one. Let's say you slept with your mother, who is also your who's also an eshadish. You'd be only chayav one. Ulara baby barabaye. Now they question this question of his, and they say, what do you mean? Me late lehade detanya kol davar shayab ichlav yatzam nachlal lamed. Every time we have an exception to the rule, right? We had something that was already, it was in a generalization. Then we specified, that's exactly our case. It said, Mikola toy vote, you're going to get karet. Then it said, specifically for this one, you're going to get karet. Whenever we have something like that, it's to teach about everything. So how could you even suggest such a thing? How do we know this, Klal? Because it says, Ketzad, Ketzad, Va'nefesh asher tochal basar. It says, if you eat basar shlamim, when you're tameh, you get karet. But there's already a pasuk that says any kind of tameh kochim you eat, you get karet for. Valo shlamim bichlal, it was part of the klal. So, and it says, kol hakodeshim hayu, lama yatsa, so why did it yotzei min haklal? La kish alehem. Ma shlamim shehem kochim mizbeach v'chayavin alehem, av kol shehem kochim mizbeach chayavin alehem. Yatsu kodeshe berek habayit, another connection to the end of the previous Masechet. It's to teach you that just like shlamim, you get karet for eating, and those are kodshei mizbeach, you're only going to be chayav karet if you eat kodshei mizbeach, and not if you eat kodshei berek habayit when they're tmei. So, how could he possibly suggest such a thing? So now they're going to say Rabbi Barabaya's question was otherwise, and we'll end with this. Amale Rabbi Bar Mine, get rid of this. Lav mi amar tatam yatsu kodshei berek habayit. Hachanami ma choto miyuchedet shehir va ve'en la heter b'chayei osra av kol she'en la heter b'chayei osra yatsa eshet ish sheyesh la heter b'chayei ba'ala. You might have thought that just like by shlamim, what did we do? We said it was a yotzei min haklal, but it teaches about everything, but it only teaches about a way that it's similar. Likewise, you might say about achoto. Achoto is unique in that even after the death of the husband, okay, you can't sleep with the sister, right? You can never sleep with your sister, even, right? Is it your sister here, right? Right. Your sister is always erva, and it doesn't matter whether the right? What's the case here? That your sister, right? Well, it doesn't matter, right? I guess it's a weird thing because it's not relevant anyway. But in other words, she's always forbidden to you, no matter what. Okay. Whereas an eshet ish is only forbidden when her husband's alive. Okay. And there is no case where anyone would be dead that's related to achoto. But that's the point. That an eshet ish, once she's right, her husband could still be alive, but she could be divorced. Then it will be removed. So you might have thought maybe you wouldn't get karet for that, and that's his question. Okay. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Yonah, v'itam Rav Huna b'Rid Rav Yoshua, Amar Kra ki kol asher yasem mikol atoevot hukshu kol arayot kulan lachoto ma choto chayavin aleha b'fnei atzma av kol chayavin aleha b'fnei atzma. Okay, so then he's going to say, that's what that pasuk came to say. As we had a choto that was separated, but now we say, no. It's going to include now everything.
Absolute.
Right, so there, it's to teach you that there you're chayavim b'fnei atzma, so all are chayavim b'fnei atzma, and you're chayav kulam b'heleim echad. Okay, what's going to continue, which I'm sorry I didn't get to today, but it's going to continue to show that not everybody thinks that the achoto was specified for this reason. Some people learn it some other way, and then they're going to have to do a back and forth. Well, where does he learn this from then? And that's a bit of a ping pong there.